Well, I understand your
You
situation.
understand what I'm saying?
And there are
So
other people out there who feel the same way.
I am 100% sure about that.
And
So
you
then
reach a
what do we
point
do?
where well, you can only sit down and wait, but most of all, you have also to be very careful in your movements and stuff like that. Follow the protocols as has been
Yeah.
recommended.
They were saying to, when you get your results, you go home and self-isolate and you wait until you get your test. That's exactly what we have been doing. And this is what 18 days we have been sitting down in this house. Been doing what? Just waiting. Just waiting. I have a 10-year-old and I have a 5-year-old. And they're accustomed being out and about. I mean, honestly, they're road children, if I can say that. So it's really hard. Because there's literally nothing that we can do but sit down and wait.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much
Thank you for listening.
the sharing. Now, there's some people who say that there no country in the world has been able to grapple with COVID. So I decided, let me go and look online and hear what people are saying. They've identified five countries that have handled the coronavirus the best. Number one is Taiwan. They say here before the coronavirus even registered on the radars of other governments, Taiwan was testing and quarantining travelers from Wuhan, China. The island's networks with China gave it a clear view of the original epicenter of the now global pandemic. They have had, according to the information I am seeing here, and I'm just looking for the date of this. This would be the 8th of January. Up to the 8th of January, Taiwan had 657 cases and 7 deaths. They did control the situation in October. The country reached a record 200 days without any domestically transmitted cases of COVID-19. Unfortunately, the situation turned on the 30th of November, when 24 cases were reported in one day. Most of these cases were from people traveling from Indonesia. New Zealand, they've had 25 deaths and 2,059 cases up to that point. Another one that has done is in the top five in this regard is Iceland, 5,392 cases and 26 deaths up to the 8th. And Singapore is also in the top five along with Vietnam. So there are countries that, especially when you look at the size of their populations and stuff, you will see that it can't be said that nobody has done better in this regard. You can say that nobody's been able to escape it, but some countries have done better than others in trying to control it. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Peace be unto you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Mr. David Ellis.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. This morning, give me the privilege to say peace to all the people in the district hospitals and the caretakers, the nurses and orderlies and cooks and everybody at the district hospital, and including the psychiatric hospital. Mr. Ellis, what forced me to call this morning? I didn't know if I wanted to come out yet because I listen to Brass Tacks every day as long as it is saying I'm so happy to be alive and that I can do so. But before I come to your program, I go and I listen to the BBC News, to get information of what's going on in the world. And from a disability point, I take it seriously. But what really confronted me this morning, you had a caller who called you to say they want back the monkey hunters and to get rid of the monkeys and the problem that the monkeys are causing. Pray God tell me, can't we start to think differently concerning life rather than just killing or think about killing a monkey and leaving the body there? We can't do nothing. Just plant more trees. Plant them in the gullies, Mr. Ellis. plant them on the head row of your plantation or estate or whatever you have. Plant food that the monkeys can get. And when the monkeys can get food, they're not going to invade your food. The point remains is that we are living selfishly, Mr. Ellis. And we just want to plant 4 trees, and then 4 trees is for wheat.
No, I think that you are really being simplistic about the problem that we are facing. I do not believe that planting more fruit trees and stuff like that will be the solution to the magnitude of the problem that people are facing out there in this community. I think that is a simplistic approach to the problem. It is much bigger than meets your eye. I think, you know, you can do some of that, because you're not trying to wipe out the monkey population of the country altogether. But there is no doubt from what I've seen or heard that there is a need to cut this population. And if we don't do so, we're going to make it exceedingly hard for people who are trying to grow food in the country.
Yes, Mr. Ellis, which is true. Listen, I travel to America. America have orange trees, hundreds and hundreds of trees. Orange trees and various fruit trees. And they have the snakes. They tell you that hunger has caused a snake to climb orange tree. And therefore, which I have seen myself. And I didn't see the farmers in America try to get rid of the snakes, or they don't do what we are they talk about the snakes the way that we are talking about the monkeys. Every human life, every life.
Why don't you look at how the people in England deal with certain wild animals that kill foxes and stuff like that, that kill their animals on the farms. What do they do? They don't just have an open-ended situation. They're control. I can understand how people who control their situation can impose upon countries like ours a completely different regime. That doesn't make sense.
Okay, I don't argue with you, but what I'm trying to say is I do not like killing animals. I do not like. I am a person who I don't.
You prefer to? Well, we don't. You know what? I agree with you in principle that you don't want to be killing animals. But you know what? If you come down to a choice between human beings being able to eat and animals having to, like the monkeys having to live, you have to strike a balance between the two.
Listen, let me go back to the 1940s when I was a boy. The plantation owners used to plant tons of potatoes, tons of corn, tons of all sorts of things, and they never treated and behaved like how we're talking about the monkeys today. I live with monkeys. I come along with monkeys. I'm a St. Thomas person in the middle of monkeys. I know about monkeys. And I saw the monkeys survive up to today. So why we want to get rid of them today suddenly, and we are not even planting food. We're just planting grass and grass and grass.
And as people try to plant food, the monkeys encroach upon what they're doing.
What about the people?
Because there are so many of them.
But what about the people who are you plant your food? People come and rip your food, and people.
That's another problem. Exacerbates it.
I thought that is what we should be talking about. That is what I'm concerned about. We are not doing a lot to help one another in that area.
Well, we understand your concern. We are different people, and we will bring different concerns to the table, though. Yes, good afternoon. I've been looking here at MSNBC, which is reporting that California is investigating a batch of Moderna vaccine after a higher than usual number of severe allergic reactions. So that's the Moderna vaccine that they've been distributing in the United States. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon.
Happy New Year to your family, your staff, and the whole Barbados.
I'm a patient.
I trying to get to the Phillips Polyclinic Oyster to see if I get my medication. And they give me a number here on the box. I call that number, extension number, and they can't get to the body at all. Even my doctor at all, I can't get to the body at all. And my medication ran out. So I don't know if it opened or not.
This is Randall Phillips.
Yes, sir.
I have to check and see if there's a problem there. There was one of the polyclinics in Christchurch that had a bit of a problem last week.
Yeah, so I have to check and see.
Yeah, well, let me check. If I get the information, I'll just share on air.
Well, thanks, okay. Sir.
All right. Okay. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes?
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon.
I really had to call in when I hear that gentleman talking about the monkeys. No,
the monkeys
is a real problem, in truth. I used to plant up about 8 beds about 15 years ago at the back with all kinds of vegetables and so on. I cannot do that now because I am only planting the monkey reaping. This nonsense about planting for the monkeys and you plant for yourself, is the monkey going to be that disciplined to eat his and don't come for yours? That is, a professor on a calling program told me so one night, and I know that is not going to work. We have baby monkeys coming out with little babies on them, under the belly. What that tells you? That they're just proliferating with breeding very early. And I am telling you, there are droves and droves in this area that I live in. They're not only eating the thing, but they're eating my flowers now as well. Hibiscus and euros.
Oh, yes, definitely. They're eating flowers. And
I am a person that love my garden, and I don't like to even pick the flowers and put them inside. And the last thing I will say is, Mr. Ellis, is that one morning, if you don't do something, one morning we are going to wake up and find we have more monkeys than people in Barbados. And that would be a sad thing. You're telling people to eat what they grow what they eat, and the monkeys eating what you grow. Oh, does it make sense for you to go and plant and they reap? We have to do something definitely with these monkeys. They must find something that could to put in something that the monkey like to eat. I know they're very intelligent. They must find a way that just like the find a way for rats and so that would bleed to death at the monkey because they could do something like that. That's only a suggestion. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, because I know someone who grows orchids, and they had to take the orchid in after it had flowered. They realized that the monkeys were eating the flowers, so they had to take the orchid into the
orchid. I had orchids as well that were eaten by the monkey, and since then those orchids have not flowered. Don't know what happened. They have not flowered, and that's years that they bite off my orchids and eat them. So they are really a problem. And the sooner we do something about it, the better for people who love to plant. You know how many of my friends tell me they can't plant now? They would love to plant. Anyways, thank you for listening.
Yes. All right, thanks for calling. The guy who called just now about the polyclinic, Randall Phillips, was closed last week because of this issue of COVID. And I don't know whether it remains closed because of that. But you may recall that there was quite a rush towards the Oystein's Polyclinic because of the closure of the Randall Phillips. Okay. Down to brass tacks. Hello. There's also a suggestion here that the phone number has been changed. It is now 536-4346. 536-4346 or 47. So perhaps you can try that and see if indeed it has been reopened, and somebody may answer you at that particular number. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good evening, Mr. Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes. Hi.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon to Barbados. I am calling in connection with the same COVID issue. something we have to deal with and something I guess we have to deal with for a long time. But I had a situation where my daughter, who traveled in over December, was tested last Thursday and needed the results to get back to Canada yesterday. Up to yesterday morning, she had not received her results. We turned up at the airport. She was not able to board the aircraft. And along with her were quite a few others who were supposed to board this jet, WestJet flight. But what I found really interesting was that there were a set of people who were coming to the airport for a second time from last week Sunday, because the same thing happened to them last week Sunday. They turned up again Sunday this week with no results again. So they've been tested twice, haven't had any results, was not able to board the aircraft. And as a result, my daughter was unable to board the aircraft again yesterday, having tested since Thursday. I have been calling every single number that I could possibly think about, both at Best Santos, both at Black Rock Polyclinic, and I'm getting absolutely no answer. Now, obviously, she had to put back her flights the next week, Sunday. She started school today. She's doing it online, thank God. And she has to test again on Thursday. Now, Thursday is a bank holiday in Barbados. Are the labs going to be open? Is Best Santos going to be open? Because I'm not going to air to another polyclinic, not knowing, again, if she's going to get out of the results in time, and she has to board a flight again on Sunday. Other than that, our son was tested at one of the polyclinics as well. And for 2 weeks, I had him isolated in his room. I had to change around things so that he used the one bathroom by himself, and the other bathrooms were used by us. And he was in this room for like 2 weeks. I would take the food upstairs, put it outside his door. When he was finished with his stuff, then I would take it from him, wash it down with Clorox and everything. So I'd be practicing social distancing. We'd be using masks in the house to deal with him and stuff. 2 weeks. He only got his results last night. Had a situation like this happen to someone else who didn't have the facility to isolate the person and let them use a different bathroom. Because I understand that these are situations that not only we are having, other persons might have had them as well. But then we are in a position where all these tests are still outstanding. And if I understand clearly, when the Prime Minister spoke, she said that there was a lab there was a team that was doing new results, and there was a team that was doing the old results. So I was assuming that the new results would have been done, as she said, and become available. And this is now the end of the weekend that she said results would have been back. Clearly,
the whole situation is in trouble. They're struggling. They really are struggling. And that is a conclusion that can be reached from all that you have experienced and that others have experienced. Somebody wrote me earlier today saying that there are people who have had to put off their flight back to Canada on 3 occasions.
Yeah.
So it's not just twice. Just let me say, yes, those people who've sent me the note, Randall Phillips Polyclinic in Oystons, that's exactly, they're one and the same. So my apologies for misleading you. Yes, so that's where we are in relation to this problem. It is major. I understand and appreciate the desire on the part of the government spokesman and stuff to do their best to try to allay fears and concerns. But what is emerging here to those of us who are outside of the government system is very worrying. And there's no doubt about that.
It is. It is very, very worrying. Because I mean,
it says that you have to really, really do everything in your power to try to minimize. I mean, we've had somebody call us today talking about somebody going on the bus to go to a polyclinic, and when they got there, they tested positive.
Oh, and, wow.
So that's the kind of situation that we confront. Somebody else wrote me here, this person is a nurse, and they made an observation here. I need to quote them specifically rather than try to paraphrase what they said. But, I look for that. But we're in a difficult situation right now, as far as I can see.
Yeah, but my challenge now, Mr. Ellis, is that WestJet has said that they're not flying to Barbados after the 31st. After the 31st, they're not flying. So if I take her to the polyclinic again on Thursday and she doesn't get her results back in time, that only leaves next week Sunday, and then that's the last one. And then, and now these people are just getting put back and put back and put back. Where does that leave us?
Perhaps they'll give you a rapid test.
I don't know. I'm just hoping that on Thursday when she goes again, she's able to get whatever test she needs to do so that she can get back out. It is really interesting. And I mean, I understand the pressures on the system. I mean, and we try our best as a family to make sure that, you know, while we were in isolation, that we tried not to go out and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, we need to, you know, something has got to give. It is, we, tourism is our business, and it's going to be harsh for people to go out there and see all the challenges they've been having. I had the woman who was at the airport with us yesterday who said that she had a test done. And when she turned to the airport last week, Sunday, she couldn't get on, and she did a different test. And when she got to the airport and thought that she had the right test, they had given her the results of the test before, and she couldn't board again yesterday. So it's all these challenges that we're having, and I'm just hoping that, you know, we can deal with it because of the nature of our business, which is tourism. And we really don't want to put the negativity out there, you know, that could be disadvantageous to us. But that's just my take, and thanks for listening to me. But it's
all right. Thank you very much for calling. I hope that that your frustration ends soon. This person says, this nurse said to me, I heard you say a few minutes ago that we can't lock down totally. My question is, why not? We did it before, and it worked to control Barbados. Right now, we need to send the tourists home and fix Barbados. We are too small. And all the monies that was made when the tourists weren't coming has now been spent. Fix us 1 month and segregate the sick persons from the well. We are now desperate, she writes. Everywhere I turn, there has been a person with COVID. That's what people are experiencing out there in the community. So, I mean, the question that the government faces is this: are you going to be following this position that says, oh no, we can't do this and we can't do that because we have to live with COVID, only to find that the thing has grown exponentially? If you allow that to happen, these people are going to blame you in a very significant way. And if you know, this idea, you're really caught between a rock and a hard place on this matter. The experience that we've seen in other places is if you wait too late to take certain steps, this thing gets out of hand. And then when it does, your systems are overwhelmed. You're already in that situation with respect to testing. What else is likely to be affected in that way? You are in that situation as it relates to the prison and how it's spreading there. What else? It can get worse. And the government really has to come to terms with this. And, you know, life and livelihoods, this is a very delicate balance. This is down to brass tacks. Hello? 43-41-790.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, Mr. Ellis, are we on?
You are.
Yeah, Mr. Ellis, I just thought I would call and just shed a little light or say something about this monkey situation. I think Mr. Paul really did justice to what he had to say this morning. When you take into light that a lot of people are talking about planting trees in gullies and so on for monkeys, but it simply don't work that way. We definitely have a problem of too many monkeys. I shoot monkeys. I'm a monkey hunter. I'm also a farmer. I grow fruit. And any morning, I can go down in the back of my place and see at least three or four troops of monkeys. The other morning, I came home. Well, I ease off shooting them for a while. And the reason why I ease off is because the Ministry of Agriculture had a meeting some months ago. Well, not, it's about a year or two now, all the monkey hunters. And, you know, to propose what kind of bounty we would probably want. And I think they settled out a figure around $20, $25, $30. Because $15 is not enough for a monkey tail. You got to deal with wear and tear on your vehicle. You got to deal with gasoline. If you encounter a troop of monkeys and you fire a shot, they're all gone. You got to move from there and go someplace else. Sometimes you got to get a helper to go into the bush to get the monkeys through. You got to buy ammunition. You got to pay a license for your firearm. So $15 just is not saying anything. Right now, I've got about 40 monkey tails in storage. And I haven't taken them in as yet because I'm hoping that they will raise the bounty on the monkeys. Now, every troop of monkeys that you see, you may see a troop with 15 monkeys. Out of that 15, at least 10 of them are juveniles. The other morning, a neighbor stopped by and asked me, do you still shoot monkeys? I said, yes, if the opportunity arises. She said, well, look, it's down there destroying a fella down there, cassava ground. When they went down there, they had about 10, 15 monkeys in the ground, digging up all the cassava. You know, I went, and they're smart, they know you. I even went, if them fellas know my name. As soon as them see my car, they're gone. As soon as them see me appear, they're gone. Monkeys are something else. I went in further into Lucy to shoot some monkeys one evening, and there was about 40 of them. And as soon as they turn in, people was amazed to see when they turn in how those monkeys scatter. And you see, one of the problems that we got today, too, is that the monkeys don't only, today the monkeys are eating, when they're hungry, they eat anything. They bite all the green sour stalks. You know, monkeys are eating breadfruit then. And yeah, I mean, when they turn to breadfruit, you could understand. They pull up the cassava. Some person mentioned orchids. Just about a year ago, just before COVID, I used to go to a guy who do orchids commercially to shoot monkeys to keep them off his orchids. Monkeys are really, really a problem. And if you don't do something about them, it's hard for people to talk about preserve. I don't agree in killing all the monkeys because they think monkeys are as African and barbarian as we are. But monkeys are classified as pests. And I think they need to cut down the population. We got too many monkeys. Once upon a time, they grew fruit trees all over the place. Yeah, so you will feel it. But monkeys, they pass in the morning on the way out. And on the evening when they're coming back in, they'll pass by you again. Yesterday morning, I've got three. This mango season is out. I've got three lovely mangoes in a tree. I come home, there's one mango on the ground bitten. Just a few pieces bite out. And the other pieces just there to remain. So all I was left to do is to just salvage the other two monkeys, the other two mangoes, although still matured green. So I think this is something that's serious. Unless you are growing something, then you're not in a position to say to talk about monkeys, about monkey habits and so on. You got to see this for yourself. Every place you go, you see monkeys. I see monkeys in villages in St. Michael. I see monkeys at the beach around the garrison. Every place you go, you can see monkeys. And like someone said earlier, which is so right, monkeys do not run from women. Women will be there and monkeys will be right there around them. They might even trouble them. Monkeys do some funny things around women. It's a little sexual, nasty little sexual things they do around women. But as soon as a man appears, they're gone. So monkeys is something that we who know about monkeys can talk about monkeys for a straight month. So I just want to say that monkeys and monkeys are not pets. Monkeys are wild animals. Like any, I wouldn't want a tiger cub or lion cub in my house. I don't want a monkey in my house either. And if we don't watch ourselves, we're going to find ourselves in a position, the same position that the Kitchens have found themselves in, when monkeys coming into the house and taking over and doing all kinds of things. And I think we're the only two people in the immediate Caribbean who's got that particular type of monkey, that vertebrate monkey that we call the green monkey. So I think people need to do a little more research on this and need to listen to those people who know about monkeys and, you know, try and get an understanding of what is the nature of the problem. And people that are in position in government and agriculture that need to do that should have a look at it. The last chief agriculture officer, he was paying some attention to that. Mr. Chandler. And since that, I've heard now that he is now retired. That's all I have for my contribution.
You said you talk about the St. Kitts situation. What has been the St. Kitts situation?
The St. Kitts situation that there's so many monkeys that the monkeys are kind of catching up with the population. They're all in houses, everything. I don't know if you've seen the videos around where monkeys are in hotels in St. Kitts drinking the rum punch and getting drunk and falling down and all kinds of stuff.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's one circulating. Monkeys
drink the rum punch and get drunk?
And get drunk and fall down. And monkeys are alcoholics. If you ask enough people, somebody will send one of those videos too. But the video is circulating. If I ever come across it again, I'll put it on the brass stock.
But we can't. You don't think we can try to get them drunk?
Oh, well, I think Yeah, but it's been a lot for most of them, man. Because I think by now they've already got, they've got extra.
Because they may be selective about which alcohol they drink.
Exactly. They may want Tanqueray and Ciroc and them things, man. She was real.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Good care. All right, bye.
Down to brass tacks.
Hello?
Hey, hello? Good afternoon. Yes, hi.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say something about the monkeys, right? The gentleman guests here that they drink rum and get drunk. That is quite true. When I used to go deliver bread in St. Joseph, the monkeys used to be in the road and would let the truck pass. And we see the guys up there take up a bottle of water and drink it and put down a bottle of rum, and the monkeys go and take it up and drink it. And when they get drunk, the monkeys used to hold, the men used to hold them and carry them away as pets.
But there's only one thing you got to tell me. They used to chase the rum?
The monkeys?
Yeah.
No, but we put water, and the men would drink the water, and then put down a bottle of rum.
I heard that. But I was just checking to see if they're intelligent enough to follow the men and chase with water.
The water? But listen, I got an idea, though. If you could hold the monkeys and mute them and tag them and let them go. So when you hold it again, and you got the tag, well, that already mute. So you won't have to mute that again. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I leave that to the people who are experts in the field to determine how they're going to respond to the problem. There's no doubt, though, that it's a big national issue, especially in circumstances where more and more Barbadians in a COVID period are being encouraged to grow more food. And you cannot grow more food if the monkey population is growing to such a degree that they are actually going out there and destroying the crops. There's another dimension to them that also needs to be taken into consideration. They can be pretty vengeful when they're ready. So sometimes if you decide that you're going to chase them away and run them from attacking your crops, when you come back with your next morning, everything is dug up because, you know, or every fruit on the tree is pulled down and dropped onto the ground. So that also has to be taken into consideration. They're very smart. And the government has to spearhead a move that will see some kind of improvement in this situation. Let me thank you all for being involved in today's edition of the program. And thanks to John Stout, the technical operator and producer. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.